This is Infection, the H1Z1 podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, March 10th, 2015, Episode 8. Hello, everybody. Another Tuesday night. Welcome to Infection, the H1Z1 podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on H1Z1. We bring you the latest news, change logs, developments, strategies, and speculations each and every week. My name is Nick Craig at Gamecast Live is my Twitter handle. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. Joining me again, Brian Aldridge.
Hello. And of course, Nick, I'm surprised you got that intro out with your throat.
You know, Brian, here's the thing. I was like, we're going to start the show, and there was like 45 seconds of downtime. I was literally dying.
Nice.
And then we got started. Brian Aldridge at Boise Computer on Twitter.
Yeah. So if you want to find me, go ahead and go to google.com/+Brian Aldridge, and that's with an I, so B-R-I-A-N. Or if you want to go to my blog, that's Byte of Tech with an I, byteoftech.com. So that'll take you to every social thing that I have. Of course, we have our, I'll do this intro to save your throat a little bit.
Thank you.
We have our website. If you want to go to infectionpodcast.com, check it out. We've got links to our TeamSpeak. We have links to our Steam group, which has been really growing lately. We have, I know, over 75, maybe 80 something members on there right now.
Almost 90. Yeah, it's pretty close.
Almost 90. So we've been growing that every week, and we've been getting a lot of new people coming into our TeamSpeak, joining us in game. We'll be talking, I'm sure, a little bit about our new base that we started building with people. That's been going pretty well. But yeah, this is a Infection Podcast. Check us out on our website. And of course, we got all our previous videos on there, the audio version of the podcast, if you're listening to audio, or just click the links and join us online.
Yes, that is available. Our Steam group is good. There's a few reasons that the Steam, I don't want to get like completely into this, but Steam group is good. You can find other people that play the game. It'll show, you know, 13 people in this group are playing right now. Maybe send them a Steam message or whatever and say, hey, you want to group up? I'm in this group, whatever else. And then we also do notifications when we do our live streams or when we do this show, and it'll show up like an event on Steam. So you can do that over on our Steam group, which is on the website. And our, Brian, you want to talk about TeamSpeak a little bit? We did some remodeling of that, and it's on the website.
Yeah, so you can actually tell when people are on, because that's the thing, is you go on TeamSpeak, some of us will AFK in there. But if you want to pull up our website on the right-hand side, you can see who is online at the time. It's a good way that if you're like, ah, I might go in or I might not, jump in there, see if some people are hanging out. We call it the campfire, is kind of where everybody hangs out and starts talking. If you want to group up and get into your own channel, from there you can go right into group one, group two, group three. You know, I don't mind on our server if you're going to be away, go down into the AFK channel. It doesn't allow anyone to talk. So if you're worried about something embarrassing going out, you go into that channel. It will actually silence everyone, and you can just AFK in that channel, and when you come back, jump into the campfire. So, but yeah, join us on there. It's an excellent way to come and meet some other people, some of our listeners, people that play. And of course, we're on the Walker Empire server. So make sure if you're going to go onto a server, join us there.
Yes, indeed. So starting off the show, no patch notes this week. A little disappointing.
Yeah.
So what this means is we'll see a patch note later Tuesday night, because that's how this kind of stuff works with us. So
yeah, here in an hour after the show, I'm sitting.
You'll hear about notes. It in 7 days when our next episode is. Yes. So that's with.
Now they did make a note. So this was on March 3rd, which was exactly 1 week ago.
And this is a big. This one caused a lot of issues. So.
Yeah, so they made a note that said, no patch notes, just improve server stability. And of course, that is when everything just went downhill. People started crashing like crazy. People were complaining of constant crashes. That's when I still really started to notice I'd hear a gunshot. Have you been running into this one as much? And I'm still seeing this one, but a gunshot goes off and it kicks you out of the game.
Yeah.
That's been a really big problem that I've noticed. That I think that is still happening, but that's been since that improved server stability patch they did. So whatever they put in there, I know that that Smedley was claiming that they turned up the anti-hacking, and that may be just something to make people feel better about whatever they did.
I don't see,
but I don't know if that I haven't I we well we went on there and it was just there's plenty of hacking happening a couple days after the patch.
Yeah, and this they say server side improvements, but that doesn't explain client crashes, which is what they were. They weren't server crashes. So there was obviously something in this.
Yeah, I mean, they put out a patch that went, it was a 40, I think a 40 something megabyte patch that went out to the clients.
But what's in these patches? Why can they not just have somebody internally literally just put a post on Reddit? It'll easily make it to the top and they just say, we did this, this, this. I'm not looking for a detailed patch note like they normally do. Just tell me what's in this. Why is my game crashing for the last week? What have you done?
Man. Well, and that's the thing we've noticed from some of the people, like I think it's Wizenhunt. He had put out a tweet just a couple days ago or maybe yesterday saying, hey, sorry about that. We haven't been putting out these updates. You know, we're going to start putting out. And I don't know how much of it was them preparing for PAX, that this whole week maybe they've been preparing, because it probably is a much bigger ordeal than what we expect to go and or for a show like that. They've probably been preparing for that whole week to where everything else got put on the back burner. They just don't want us to know that everything got put on the back burner, because of course we want to know that, oh, you guys are still fixing all these problems, everything's changing. But as you'll see from this show, there's actually a lot of things that, and of course Schmedley has been harassed a lot about saying soon. Schmedley's soon is much different than our soon, I think.
You need to clarify. But, you need to give them like a bubble sheet with like three options, like soon, within the next 3 months, within the next 6 months or 12 months plus. When he says,
we need to have different versions of soon. But there's a lot of things that they have said are coming out soon. Mm-hmm. Now, some of these they did say after their soon that, hey, sorry, something came up. There's somewhat of a delay.
Yeah.
That's understandable. But some of these things, like first person vehicle mode, They mentioned soon as in February 19th. Later, that's their soon.
Yeah, but now there was a video of that. We'll get into that in a little bit that was released that showed that. Now, this is, I like opening the show this way. Before we get into what changed or whatever else this week, we did actually a bunch of interesting things this week on the Walker Empire server. We're kind of rolling around that server like we own it. So we actually, Brian, I'll let you talk a little bit about this because you guys actually found it. But we started a new base. So you want to talk a little bit about that new base, where that is, what's going on?
So we started a new base that we wanted it to be closer to Pleasant Valley. And so we were finding that the base that was on the very northeast side of the map just seemed like it was a long trek to go to Pleasant Valley. Cranberry is still somewhat of a trek from that base. Ranchito Taquito is very close. So we made a base that's right on Humperdinck Gorge, and it's been really nice. From where we're at, we can get to Pleasant Valley within, 2 minutes?
Yeah, it's a very quick walk to Pleasant Valley.
And it's not at first when we were building it, we were thinking, man, this is going to be a long hike back up. But we've kind of found some shortcuts and things like that to be able to get back up to our base pretty quickly. And it's in a nice spot. I mean, it overlooks that whole, lake that surrounds the Humperdinck Gorge. I mean, it's an excellent spot. And we built this base a little bit different. I mentioned, I don't remember if it was last week or the week before, that we had put this one chest down in the Ranchito Taquito base that just
kind of screwed everything up there.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a huge problem, but we didn't, you know, if you're going to make a base, you want to make it big, right? You want it to be everything as much as possible to get in there. Well, the other one is kind of nice. It is somewhat open, but I wanted our base to be something that when people look up and see that it's like, man, that's a big base.
Yeah.
You know, and that's our base. So we planned this one out knowing the mistake that we made the first time. This one, we're making just every bit of space that we can take and make to our advantage. We're using that in this base. So it is pretty impressive. And of course, I'm the one who made it, so I'm proud of it. But you know, a lot of people look at it and they say, man, you've used everything possible. It's not, we couldn't expand this base anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, now the interesting thing about this base is its location. Our Rancho Taquito base, nobody's really up in that northeast corner of the map. For the most part, it's a pretty unoccupied area, so that's not really a problem for us. This Pleasant Valley base, for us to get there, to come from Pleasant Valley, you cross like 10 other bases. There are like full-out clans with, you know, the similar structure bases that we have, the double wide with the, the double tall with the reinforced larger gates or whatever else. There's a lot of activity on the Humperdinck Gorge, and we've seen that firsthand with getting killed by other people. So that's something interesting now is you, Brian, you had to design this base a little bit differently to give us some more cover so that people just couldn't look into our base.
Yeah, we had a problem with having a hill on one side of the base, and we didn't want people shooting in from the outside. So we actually create an extension out with one of the extra large rooms that you can make that extends out over. And then we're putting up some of those barrels to kind of create something you can duck behind and shoot out, because you know, this is going to be a much higher traffic area. Even though you wouldn't think on the gorge, it's very difficult to get up there. But we've had a lot more traffic there than we had at the other base.
Yeah.
Even though it's almost impossible to get on.
Yeah. It's interesting because people are finding their way up there. And we're not the only base up there. There's a base not 100 feet from our base. It's right
a sniper
there.
Shot away. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's a base across the lake that's on the other side. There's a like land that's going, in our case, I believe it's going south. But there's another huge base over there that loads. There's a base below us that we could snipe right into. There's a lot of activity.
And I've found that people have been going to this one a lot more. And I think it's just because it's so much easier. It's kind of nice being that Pleasant Valley is such a hotbed of activity to have a place where you can kind of go in there and just have a shootout. And then, okay, you know, maybe I've got what I've wanted or I want to get out of this to run back. And so it's a little more of a let's go raid this town type of a base.
Yeah, because in Rancho Taquito, I mean, basically we just sat in the base the entire... I mean, our raids consisted of the Villas development and Rancho Taquito. There was really no other place to go. And plus, you just look at getting to that spot, there's a lot more spawn points over on that side of the map. So we're new, people are fresh spawning in from if they're getting killed or they're joining us for the first time. It's a lot easier for us to be like, oh, you're somewhere near Pleasant Valley, you know, I'm at the Budgetnik Farms or whatever. Yeah, we can come pick them up or whatever else, which is nice.
Yeah, and it's very noticeable. You could say to someone, go in the forest here on the one that's on the east side of the map, go to the forest here and you'll find us. And that one's pretty hard to find. I mean, you have to know there is one indicator that kind of points out, hey, here's where you can go. But that, I assume, eventually will disappear. And so that's kind of an issue here. If you say, hey, run in the gorge, we're going to see them coming at least.
Exactly. And now I could talk about this a little bit. I was playing yesterday and we've gained probably like 5 or 6 more people this week than we had last week on TeamSpeak. New people that came in from either listening to the show or whatever else. So working with, you know, similar group of people, but some new people as well. Always welcomed. And we were in the our base is very close to the church that's in Pleasant Valley. If you know where the gorge is, the back of the church is right there. And I had a run-in with hackers. Personally, I wasn't killed by a hacker. I was killed by just a regular player. I killed one of his buddies with a pistol, and he came after me with a hunting rifle and killed me. But somebody from our base went down to go get our stuff. And they were met with a group of 6 people, and one of these people were flying. So that was my hacker experience this week. Was losing a lot of our stuff. We had a lot of ammo on us, and a group. He was just rolling with a group of other. This hacker was just rolling with a group of 3 or 4 other people, and then they were able to take out our last guy.
Now, one thing that we've run into, and I guess this kind of leads into the first topic that we were going to talk about, but we had one of our players that had gone and killed what I assume is a hacker, because on him he found it was like 100 and something shotgun shells, 100 and something. I mean, each kind of ammo was at least 100 and something. Mm-hmm. And so he had gotten this, and we put it in our chests in one of our bases. And that was kind of our test. I mean, we could have taken it. We should have probably spread that ammo out a little bit, but we took that and we were like, okay, if this disappears, we know that the hackers are still able to get into those closed rooms. Because that's one thing we weren't quite sure about. We've seen reports on the website where you can go look at the issues. We saw on there that people were saying, oh, there seems to be a bug where you can't, you know, you put something in a chest and if it's almost full, things kind of disappear out of it. And we're joking around about that because realistically, that's a hacker coming in, taking out, because they're saying, oh, it seems like med kits disappear and ammos disappear and, you know, building supplies disappear. So there's a bug. I was thinking to myself, that's no bug. That's a hacker coming in and picking what he wants out of your base.
That's called a hacker making a base in about 15 minutes because he's flying around the world getting stuff from everybody's base. Now, you talked about the hacker taking the ammo, which is a problem. But the other problem you have is, and especially in our case, we're not a closed group. We're open to anybody. Anybody that watches this show, if they have a friend that wants to play this, we are going to let you play. We're not turning people away. If you've got a microphone and you're going to be on TeamSpeak, you're going to play with us. So we're going into lockable chests, and this was a suggestion from Bucky in our community, and he was the one that found all this ammo, and he said, you know, this would have been great if we could have had chests or something where you create a chest with a lock.
Yeah,
and you put in your passcode.
Now, this sounds like a great idea, and this is something we've kind of thrown back and forth. But lockable chest does not fix the problem, and this has been the issue that I've been looking at it from a developer's point of view. The easy, quick patch would be to make lockable chests, and then they wouldn't have to deal with hackers as much, because if they lock the chest, hackers can get in the room, but if they can't get in the chest, it's not as big of a deal. Well, there's still the problem that hackers are getting into your base. And that doesn't, just because they lock those chests inside the base, that has not fixed the problem of being that the bases are not secure. So I know that people keep saying on Reddit, hey, make lockable chests, but that's not really the solution to this. They have to fix those bases to where hackers can't get in, and then after that, and I've seen that they've kind of talked about this a little bit on Reddit as well, after that, then we can look at doing base raids from other people. But they definitely have to fix this. Lockable chests may be something that they do in the future, but I don't know if that's something they're going to consider doing now, because it's just a temporary patch. I did see that someone put out a good idea. They said, well, let's say you have a room that's full of lockable chests, and it takes a decent amount of, not that a hacker is going to get into it, but that a player needs a certain amount of IEDs or something that costs resources and takes time, or maybe it takes one fire axe per lockable chest. If you have 10 lockable chests in there, they're going to have to pick and choose, and not knowing what's inside of them, they're going to have to pick and choose which ones they try to get. A hacker can sit there and get more fire axes, just fly back and forth between the fire station and back. But, you know, that's the thing that, once they deal with the hacker situation, that'll be its own thing.
Yeah.
A real player, if they lock the chest, you can put a bunch of them in there. You raid a base, you're going to have to figure out which ones you're going to want to try to get into.
Yeah. Now, the lockable chest suggestion for me wasn't necessarily from the hacker standpoint. It was his problem was, you know, if he finds all this ammo, brings it back to the base, people aren't in a bad way going to steal the ammo. But if he's not logged in, and people are going out on a raid, they're going to take that ammo to go protect themselves.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, this is my ammo. I killed the guy, or I killed the zombie, and I got this ammo, or I got this gun. That's mine. I put it in the chest, and then the next time I log in, all of my ammo and my gun is gone. So the lockable chest is good in also dealing with other players in your base. People aren't, at least in our group, people aren't maliciously stealing other people's things. It's just, you throw it in the chest, it's pretty much fair game.
Yeah, okay, so here would be, as far as the person that's kind of putting together the base, the problem I see with that is someone throws down a lockable chest that they can set the code on, and this is the same problem with doors. If you look at doors, you have to be careful that not everybody makes a door and puts it up, because then we'll have six different passcodes that have to be changed by each individual person. to be, it's not something that, that you can manage very easily.
But that would be the point. But that would be the point of these chests would be, all right, Brian, I create a chest with a padlock. This is my chest. You don't have access to this chest. Nobody else does. Or maybe, you know, maybe I give it to a few people. Like, all right. Yeah. You know, Brian, you can access this. Bucky, you can access this. That's fine. But it's not something that just anybody can go press E and enter. This is more my, instead, I mean, you could do it now. You could just make a room for every person. But
yeah. Well, and this is where you're going to have a good community of players that to work together to where you can say, hey, you know, in this room, we're going to have however many chests, you know, lay them out so they can fit as many as we can in there. This one's assigned to you. And then we could put a lock on the outside door that those people know. You know, that is a good idea, but imagine with an unorganized group when everybody's just throwing chests in the thing and then you have a base that's just totally messed up. I mean, it's going to be have to be where, like in our community, it is fairly organized. If someone says, hey, I want to put something here, I want to do this, they usually say something first.
Yeah.
And so I think we would have no issues with that. And we can view it from that point of view of, hey, if we made lockable chests, that would be for that person. They could let people get into it if they want to, and it would be organized. But imagine if everybody's just throwing lockable chests everywhere and you can't go check them out and they're just, and you can't destroy them. It's kind of the problem we have right now with furnaces and lockable chests and different things that are indestructible. I think they really need to deal with that as well.
Yeah. So then what we should do then is, because in our bases, we've got plenty of those locked rooms. So what we can do is maybe, we've got some suggestions coming in here. Kramit is saying they've got it where they've got separate rooms and they do it that way. Freyman is saying in here that we've just numbered our containers and then we give them out in order. Those are possible things that work. So if you've got a good, strong community like I think we do, Brian, we could definitely get away with, you know, assigning 5 or 6 people to one room. Because what happens is Brian finds ammo, puts it back in the base, he logs out. 2 other people log in, they don't know whose ammo that is, so they're going out to Pleasant Valley, they're going to take it. Not to screw Brian, to protect themselves. So that's where you get into that weird spot. There's definitely things that we could probably do to...
Well, and I know that there is debate going back and forth at Daybreak. This is something that they are looking at, not just from, hey, let's, as I said, a quick patch. Mm-hmm. What's the proper way to put this out? Because if they don't do it right and they change their mind later, it's going to be another server wipe. You know, and they're, I think they're trying to keep those down to a minimum.
I hope so. I have no clue. I wonder when we'll see our next... You want to do a quick prediction next server wipe?
Well, okay. Possibly because of some of these things that we're going to talk about later, it could be a week. It could be. That'd be soonest.
Now, if it was a week, that would throw off their cycle because we've seen 2 wipes so far, correct? And they were about a month apart. So if they do one next week, that will throw off their... everybody was talking about this month cycle, a patch every month in the beginning. It's only been like 3 weeks since the patch.
Yeah. Well, and I really think that with some of the changes of player models and whether... Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to talk about female players. I don't know if they're just expecting you to delete your character and then have some, because they're going to have to come up with some sort of a character creation.
Yeah.
Because right now you just set a name. You don't pick anything about that character. You pick a name and then you log into the server and it's the standard character. Well, once they have a female, it could be just a quick prompt. You want this to be a male or a female. Have you log in and then that's it. But I wonder if this is going to be the beginnings, if they're building the framework for the character creation model and character customization model.
Yeah, we've actually got a question in chat here, Brian. I don't know if you want to take a swing at this, but I believe it's Tiskwan is asking, is it still worth to buy H1Z1? I don't think my opinion has changed since day one, or I should say since the first episode we've done. For the majority, the game is pretty stable. It's in alpha. I'd say it's a buy for $20. Get your foot in the door.
So that's the thing. I know that there are points in this game, and we've had people like Test Tubes in our group that just says, after hackers come in and just kill us all, take stuff that we have, you're just like, oh, I just got to stop playing for a while. There are those frustrations, and I know you've done it, Nick, where you scream at the screen. you scream at the screen and say, all right, I'm done. And you walk away for a while. But this is one of those games that because it's an alpha and you're having to deal with those things, just you got to be willing. And we're getting used to this. I died. Okay. And then that's kind of the beauty of the bases. Okay. Ammo is something that resets and starts over. And that's the most frustrating part. But we can go back to the base, get backpacks, be okay to go out and do another run for materials within, you know, 15, 20 minutes.
Brian Aldridge, breaking news, patch notes out this second. So
nice. As we guess,
as we speak. So 6 minutes ago, I'll be posting this in the chat. Let's get into these patch notes. So this is, it's called the H1Z1 Next Publish Plus Battle Royale Weekend. So this is a post done by one of the devs at Sony, or at the Daybreak Game company. And they're calling this thing our next... So I guess they're not calling them patches, they're calling them publishes now, according to this. And they're going to have a Battle Royale weekend to test their new queuing system. So I guess we just roll right into this, right?
Okay, so, man, there's a lot in here.
Yeah. Scrap so everything we'll else we wrote
the
down.
Next publish in the coming days. So they're, yeah, this upcoming publish, so I guess, rather than patch notes. Here's a peek of the incoming changes. And so they made a lot of changes to Battle Royale matches, how they're handled. And this is something that I've noticed. I guess we can talk about this a little bit. With Battle Royale, because we did do Battle Royale today just to see how it's changed over the last week. So you can see with the Battle Royale that they changed the countdown clock. I didn't see the countdown clock. Either it was blank or you were in. Is that how it was for you?
Correct. That's how today, that's exactly how it was.
That's what I've noticed. With the Battle Royale, they don't have a timer anymore. And I don't know why they even have the countdown clock at this point. It's something to where they just need to have a you're in or you're not, you know, back out and try again. But this maybe that we'll see in the patch notes, since we're seeing this as quickly as you are. I'm thinking that this may be some of what they're doing, and maybe they'll redo the screen that comes into it. But they're dealing with issues about the queues, disconnects, end match placements, and other anomalies that we've run into Battle Royale. So they're talking about on-demand zones are now launched when enough players request a Battle Royale match. So this means that the queues are now working. This is something that we asked them before. Why do they have this system with all these servers? They claim that a server would spin up, yeah, right?
Which is not the case at all.
Yeah, they just had a certain number of servers, and you just happen to get into one of those servers. Servers were not spinning up. So to me, this kind of sounds like they're going to be having servers launch or zones launch based on whether or not there's people queuing. So that means they have to come up with a queuing system, right? This is them saying that there will be a queuing system. It says players that wait too long on the reward screen are automatically logged off. So gracefully.
That's good.
I never sat there at the reward screen, but I guess that was probably causing a problem with maybe a crash or something, because it would kick them out and close the client possibly.
Because I was going to say that maybe the last person is sitting around, but even if you're the last person, the game automatically...
It eventually kicks you out.
Exactly. The server eventually
It probably
resets.
Just takes you out to the logins or to the server selection screen. So when they say gracefully, I think that's the change. It was probably kicking them before and not doing a graceful exit.
Yeah.
And then the winner is also automatically logged out after the celebration period. So rather than you dying at the end, because that's the issue, is when you won Battle Royale, it says, okay, you have 1 minute to celebrate. And then dead.
Yeah, your body slingshots.
Yeah, so I guess this is that was not the "Hey, I won, wonderful me," and then they kill you type of thing that you're looking for. That this is where it actually logs you out, and you can feel like you lived afterwards, and you're the only one.
Oh, congratulations! That'll help your ego a lot, Brian.
Yes, and then there's player population tracking has been improved. So they're reducing the players who thought they were in a match. And that's what we were noticing of you sitting at the screen there saying, okay, I think I'm going to be in this match, and it's counting up. All of a sudden you're at 2 hours with two people left. Mm-hmm. It's going to be registered as an invalid state. So if you don't get into the match, it actually will say, okay, you're not in the match. Because most people would sit there. And now this is one thing. They're saying this had caused people to wait out the match and receive no rewards. Because remember when I said, hey, I'm still in this game.
Yeah.
And I wonder if I sit here long enough, if it'll count down and I'll be in the rewards, which it never did.
No, but that's interesting.
But I think that that's what they're saying is not only if you're not in the match, it's going to tell you that you're not in the match and get you out and you're not going to get any rewards for it. So you don't sit there waiting and thinking you're in there.
That's nice. So that's a nice little addition there. So there's this other this issue I haven't actually noticed, Brian. I don't know if you did, but you should no longer drop crafting ingredients as part of a loot that spawns. I don't know what that issue was or is. I've never experienced that. Maybe that, is that worded weird? Have you experienced anything like that?
Should no longer drop crafting ingredients as part of the loot that spawns. And I wonder what they're talking about, though. I mean, that's something I'm not really putting a description of what is dropping crafting ingredients.
Yeah, because I've never had anything drop. I don't know what that is.
I'm assuming they're saying that there were certain things that were dropping something that you're supposed to only create by crafting.
Okay, maybe. Yeah, that makes that. That's. I don't think that was very well written. So map visual adjustments again. What map are they talking about? The actual map?
He says maybe in Arena. Okay, so this is all kind of talking about Battle Royale. So they've got to be talking about possibly some crafting materials were dropped, were being, you know, part of the loot spawns in Battle Royale.
Ah, okay.
Which I've never seen. I mean, I've seen stuff for making explosives.
Yeah.
So maybe this was just a weird bug that they just figured they'd. And if they are starting to announce these little things they fixed, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
Now, because that's been the thing we've been saying is they say, oh, we fixed various bugs, and then here's some of the major stuff. If they're starting to announce those little things, maybe that's why they're coming up with this new way of approaching it. Maybe they got feedback. That's why they're calling them we're going to start calling these publishes now, and we're going to start actually saying what we did, because this is much longer.
Yeah, and so now the next thing is these map visual adjustments. Now, this could mean a multitude of things here. This is what I hope this means. I hope this means that the map is actually going to be dynamic now and is going to update, so when you press M, when the gas is moving in, the gas will actually move. You won't have to spam M for that map to constantly update. And this may also mean they're making like actual adjustments to the map itself. I'm not sure. But there is a bug when the green zone is first announced at the beginning of the match. Your map reduces to like 50% in like the upper left-hand corner of the map window.
And that's a more recent bug.
Yeah.
What, the past week?
Yeah, well, I've had that for a while. You just started noticing it. That's
yeah, been I noticed it for the first time today. So maybe that's
been a problem for me.
Of course, once this patch happens and we actually log in and we're able to see it, I'm sure maybe they redid something on the map that they don't even, because they put here map visual adjustments. Maybe they upgraded the map. Maybe it's even a different skin. You know, maybe there's different detail to it. I mean, it could be almost anything from what they're saying here.
So that's good with that then. So I really hope though they fix that issue where you have to keep spamming M to see how much closer that zone is going to move, because that's a real problem, especially if you're towards the end when that zone gets so narrow and you're watching like the left or right wall move in on you.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting there spamming M. There's people walking next to you and you've got it's very nerve wracking right there at the end.
Now here. Okay. So I'm going to jump ahead a little bit to the bottom, and because what is next is not Battle Royale related. Okay. So I'm going to talking about Battle Royale weekends, which is, they say is getting improvements by them doing some special, it says, to show our appreciation, all first place winners of Battle Royale matches this weekend will receive a special item, and the top five winners of the weekend will earn another unique item. So this is something that we've said, I know in our group, we talked about, man, the Battle Royale, since that one change, the rewards are not that great. It's kind of frustrating. You win and you get an event ticket, which I've got about 50 event tickets right now. And so for me to win another event ticket for getting third place or, you know, fifth place is not the most exciting thing in the world. You know, once they become something that's actually spendable, maybe I'll appreciate it more. And we'll be talking about something Schmedley was asking regarding those tickets, I guess, a little bit later. But they're saying that if you play, and this is going to be, I assume, this coming weekend. And I don't know if they went by them saying weekend that it's going to be a weekly thing. But they're talking about this coming weekend.
I think it's just one. I think it's just one weekend while they're making improvements or whatever to show their appreciation.
Yeah, so they're going to be doing. It's going to take place from Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific to Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific. So you have all a pretty decent amount of time to go in there and play. And maybe they're trying to really push a lot of players into this so that they can get a test of that, that spawning, or the spinning up of new servers.
Yeah.
I would assume that that's what this is about. Let's do a load test and see if we can get as many people playing Battle Royale. Because right now, or up into this patch, if you said, hey, let's get as many people playing Battle Royale as possible, that's going to be nothing but frustration because the servers instantly fill up and then you have to wait for all the matches to end before you come in again.
Yeah. Now, I want to quickly go back to this really quick. Now, they say there's a queuing system for Battle Royale. Is there a party system or a queuing system?
Queuing system. So far, it doesn't say anything about a party system.
Now, the problem is going to...
individually.
So, the problem is going to be now, how do you and I get in the same game if we're just in one big queue? That's going to be impossible.
And that may be something that doesn't happen the same anymore. We may have to... Maybe we join the queue at the same time. There is a possibility that we will get into the same server.
Okay.
It's likely that we'll get into the same server if we click join at the same time, but it's not guaranteed, I would assume, at this point.
That's interesting. Because that's a big deal. We talked about that when we talked about the queuing system. As I said, well, there's got to be a way to play with your friends. Because right now, what we do is we spam that play Battle Royale button, and for the most part, we always get into the same game.
Yep.
So that's going
to
be
something they're going to have to figure out.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge problem.
Now they've done on here. They're talking about they've done a lot of fixes and updates to the main game, new recipes. Increased base building functionality. And this is the one thing that really makes me wonder, okay, server wipe this week. When they make changes to base building, that pretty much makes all of the previous base builds, except for we will be talking about how they've come up with ways that you can demolish things. So maybe there won't be a wipe because of that. But when they're going to be adding some things to base building. So it says all damaged base building pieces will now show health bars. We ran into this problem of only the walls showed health bars.
Yeah.
So we look at something inside and we'd say, well, okay, we're trying to destroy this piece. Is it even taking damage? Will it ever be destroyed?
Exactly.
You couldn't even tell.
Now, one thing really quickly, Brian, I don't know if you said this at the beginning and I didn't hear you, but there's no date on this patch yet. It will be out, I would assume, before Friday because that's when this Battle Royale weekend starts. But it just says it will be coming in the coming days.
Yeah, maybe they're going to be doing maintenance tomorrow. So it seems like on Tuesday nights or through the middle of the night, they like to do these maintenance periods.
If they were going to do it tonight, it says we'll be releasing the next publish in a couple of days, in the coming days. I don't think that's tonight. This is different.
So this isn't an official change log. This is a peek of what's going to be in the next one.
So I wonder why. So they must not be done with it. That's got to be what it is.
But they're going to have to do it before Friday, so it's got to be Wednesday, Thursday.
Exactly.
It's got to be those 2 days.
Yeah,
so we're down to 2 days.
Yeah, they've got two possible days that they could do this. I really do like that they're doing them overnight because initially they were doing them in like the middle of the day. Like our first episode of Infection, which was many weeks back, they did the server maintenance at like 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. Eastern.
Which was perfect for our show.
Yeah, and now they do it at 3 a.m. Pacific or whatever else. So there we go. The base pieces, now everything will show health bars, which is nice. Damaged vehicles. Yeah, so now damaged vehicles will show a health bar if you're near it, and you can repair that if you have a wrench. This is a nice... We use actually a lot of these. The dew collectors will now look like it looks like the basin, the little bucket that's
with it. Yeah, it's full of water. So I guess that way you can tell, because we ran into the problem of you'd put a water bottle in there. The first one fills up quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because to you, it looks the same every time. You don't know that, there was water in there before, and then there's not water in there now. Now you can actually have a visual representation. Okay, that basin has water in it.
Exactly.
So they're saying that you'll be able to, it looks like the basin is full of water and it's ready to be collected. And also the most important thing, that splash sound has been removed.
Thank God. God, that was awful.
That's the thing that's frustrating is you'd put we put them far away from the base, but you'd put these water collectors up on the base and constantly you hear just a psh, which sounds like somebody used to, as far as the old sound, it sounds like somebody was moving. And so it kind of freaks you out every once in a while because you think somebody's sneaking around the base.
Yeah, well, I'm glad they fixed that. So crafting saline, this is like a little bug they fix. If you craft saline, it will no longer produce an empty bottle. So I guess you could.
So that must have been a bug.
Oh no! What are you gonna do? Create a bunch of empty bottles? What a disaster! Crafting a first aid kit will now return an empty bottle.
Because that's the thing is you have a water bottle full of the saline. Mm-hmm. You create the first aid kit, you're emptying the saline into the, you know, you're making something with it, and then exactly. You get that bottle back, so you don't lose all those bottles.
Exactly, because the bottles, it's not being used in the actual first aid kit, it's just vanishing somewhere. You want to take a few?
Yeah, so now they're saying that recipes for the yeast starter kit have been modified to directly create yeast. Now, I never made yeast.
Neither did I.
And so I don't know if this is something, I haven't really seen this in the game. The recipe for yeast will now return an empty bottle from the used up purified water. So I know they have moonshine and different things. This is probably all leaning, and I've never actually seen moonshine. So I don't know how much of this is partially in there and not. I don't think you can actually create moonshine yet. So I think they're working that direction because there are, first of all, different types of fuel that you can use. There's the fuel that we make from the animal fat, and then there's one like an ethanol that you can make. I think this is all leaning towards them getting that going, but I've not seen them in game. I mean, we see corn and things like that, but there's a lot of these things I've never seen in game, and I'm sure if they were in there anywhere, we would have seen them sitting around. Or looted them off of somebody.
At some point, yeah.
Yeah, so I this is something that I think part of it's in the game, but to finish making moonshine or whatever it is that you can make with these products, that's not actually in there. Barb, now here's one that I don't know if I like this so much, but barbed wire and punji sticks now have resistance to being shot with arrows. I found that in one of our bases, we'd put punji sticks in the bottom, and it would actually do damage through the floor.
Interesting. I didn't notice that in that base.
So yeah, Ferment is saying that the ethanol is in-game via the airdrop. So that's a separate one. So this must be more for the moonshine that you're creating some of like the yeast and things like that.
Okay.
So I found that you could take a bow and arrow and not have to go under the base and die. You could destroy parts that were doing damage to people inside of the base. I would just sit back there and shoot it with an arrow. It would only take about two arrows to destroy a punji stick.
Yeah.
So I guess that's good. You just got to be careful where you're placing because it's going to be much more difficult. If you place a bunch under your base and you find that even though they're not touching the bottom of the base, they may still be damaging your players, that's going to be a problem. People are going to have to be very careful about how they place those or make sure their bases are high enough off the ground to where you don't risk that damage.
Yeah, that's good.
Furnaces and barbecues have less health.
I didn't notice health bars on any of ours.
So there should be health bars now. Okay. Once this patch happens.
Yeah.
And so we'll be able to destroy a furnace and a barbecue.
Now the one thing I'm surprised it's not in here, which I don't see, is we've experienced the glitch where the grill doesn't even look like it's on. It's not, you light it, you go with the lighter, and the only way you tell it's on is by opening up the grill and see that your stuff is getting cooked or your water is being purified. There's no... It used to be, it was weird. I think it was after the third patch, the March 3rd patch, that it broke. But I'm surprised that's not in there because that's a huge problem. Well, you light it like three times and you're like, what's going on here? Is it working or is it not working?
So there are two parts to that bug. There's the visual representation bug that you can't see the fire is lit. But then there's also one to where you can't light the fire.
Yeah.
I've run to one where I go up and even it's not lit, nothing is cooking. I don't have the ability to light that fire. Someone else has to go up to the furnace or whatever and light it for me. And then I have the ability to go interact or, you know, put it out and then light it myself again. So that's an issue. And Ferment's saying that's a network code bug. It's still working server side. There's something, possibly that's why they don't mention it in here. Maybe they will. The one with it not lighting is a game-breaking bug. The other one that just you don't see that it's lit, they may not view as a high priority. You know, it's just a visual. It doesn't break game. It's still, the thing is still lit. It's still working. So they probably put that on the back burner as far as priority of fixing that bug.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
But the one where you can actually light it, if that's server-side, then you're going to be able to just say, all right, fix that on server side. We'll mention it maybe somewhere on Reddit that we fixed it, but they don't have to put it in these notes. So we may never see it in these actual release notes.
Yeah. So now next thing going into this, troll furnaces and barbecues, which is just people maliciously placing these on roads and in houses and all over the place. They can now be removed the easiest with crowbars. And the crowbar's description now reflects that. So if somebody's lining the road with these grills or barbecue or the furnaces or the barbecues to try to block cars or whatever, if you've got a crowbar, you can now easily remove those. And the storage containers can now be destroyed because in our base.
So this is something we've been talking about, that these containers you can't get rid of. If someone places one, what can you do? So the other base, if we wanted to destroy that one and move it, we would have the ability, and we wouldn't be able to move it. We're talking about maybe we should be able to have the ability to pick up that container, the person who created it, placed it, pick up that container and move it. But they're doing you have the ability to destroy it, and then you can create a new one somewhere else.
Which still, for right now, works. As long as you've got people on there to pick up all your stuff, you're fine. Or you just move everything over to another chest.
So they're talking about a new item, the demolition hammer. So they have the repair hammer, and now they're going to have this demolition hammer. And so they're saying the demolition hammer is the best way if you are the one that placed it. So it looks like the demolition hammer only works for people that create the items.
Now,
maybe eventually over time, but it probably quickly happens without damaging and destroying the hammer if you place the item.
Well, this is interesting because is now this new item, the demolition hammer, is the storage chest the only thing that can be removed with this demolition hammer? Now, Brian, could you like destroy a wall in the base or something with these demolition hammers? They don't say that.
But I'm thinking that you can, though, because so in here they're saying otherwise explosives and crowbars will work. So you can destroy the containers with explosives and crowbars. But note that at this time, a container is destroyed with items in it. The items will be destroyed as well. It's like blowing up a car.
Yeah, exactly.
So be careful that when you go and take this hammer and just start smacking things with a demolition hammer, that you're not going to be destroying all the items inside of it. Now, one thing that we will have to say on here is this kind of opens up the way for these raids that we were talking about. All of these items can be destroyed now. Us getting together a ton of IEDs, landmines and things, placing them and trying to blow up other people's things in their bases, this is more of a real thing now.
Exactly. So I'm glad they evolved on this a little because you know, honestly, in our situation, Brian, it's getting a little stale, right? I mean, we've got so many guns that you need something else to do. So maybe just this little tease at possibly being able to raid. Like, I think it would be cool if we got like our core group of like eight people on TeamSpeak.
So now, so before the demolition hammer will not work on other people's bases.
Correct. It's on what you placed. So it's
only what you placed.
Exactly.
There's a recipe for the demolition hammer too. So we'll have to create some of those. And the recipe for that is metal pipe. I think that's it. Metal pipe. And then it can be used to remove misplaced or unwanted base building structures that you have placed.
Okay. That's good then.
So not only just these walls and things like that, it sounds like you can pretty much destroy a whole base that you built with this item.
Which is nice because you see, I don't think people do this, but you see a lot of those just single platforms that people have abandoned. I wonder if they'll go back and destroy those.
And of course, the person has to want to, and that's kind of the problem is you can't take this demolition hammer. But I wonder now if we can then take these explosives and crowbars, if we could go and raid someone else's door these explosives and crowbar, and now that they're actually, some of these things are able to be destroyed.
And Fremet is staying in the chat, destroy gate of another base, place your own raid complete. Yeah, like that's essentially what it would be. But it would be cool to get, now that we've got this little tease into raiding a little bit, have like a group of like eight or nine people, make a bunch of IEDs and stuff, and have a bunch of crowbars, and go and actually try to raid another base and see how that works out.
Especially once you get those prime spots, because I know they're going to be, and this is something actually we're going to cover, and I don't know if we're going to actually get to all these notes that we created. We
probably won't.
But one thing that we were going to talk about is that they're going to be replacing the placing mechanism. So the way that they place items and determine whether or not an item can be placed. Right now, it's kind of frustrating how it works. I when I placed the bases of these, the platforms for these bases, it was very difficult to go in and try to figure out where it could be placed, because it doesn't tell you. You're just pretty much moving the structure through different areas and clicking as much as possible, and when it lands, it lands. They're going to be coming up with a way that the item is red when it can't be placed, it turns green when it can be placed. They're going to be coming up with some sort of a visual indicator that tells you, okay, this is where I can place an item. So that's something that they're going to have to do. But, you know, they're going to have, once you get to where you can have, and getting back to what I was saying before, once you can get to where you can have those prime places, like maybe by the governor's mansion, or, you know, if there's just certain spots that you can only put one base there, and then like that is a really good place to have a base, and it's not to where you can have 20 bases all around that area. Maybe there will become a point where you say, all right, we want to go and capture that base, because that is the prime spot. We're all going to get together and do a raid of that base, destroy their front door, put our own door there, and then start working on breaking down the inner doors so we can place them with our own and destroy all their containers. Of course, you know, you can go in there right now. There's no codes on the containers. So you could go in and just take all the stuff out of their containers. But that, to me, is what a raid will be.
Because you're going to want that base, and you're going to want that at a prime location.
If you can get in there, you can also capture the items in the base.
Exactly.
So, you know, I think that this may be the beginning of that type of a process, but they're going to have to fix that placement to where there's not 30 bases in an area. Make it to where, okay, you can place certain bases in certain prime areas, but you're not going to have, like, in the middle of the street in Pleasant Valley, five bases along the road.
Which is what there currently is.
Yeah, you've got to make it to where it's much more difficult to place a base, and that, you know, you get that prime real estate.
Let's see. So RMI is the chat saying, I hope the
destruction
hammer doesn't need repairing three times to remove a base structure.
I
don't think it'll lose durability at all.
I don't know. I mean, it may over time, but I would assume that this is more of a tool that they're doing to kind of fix some of the problem of base building that they've created.
Yeah.
So I think that this is more of a temporary fix to be able to go and just quickly remove and fix mistakes. Because, like, if I place something in, like, okay, for instance, we had Lamar who placed a set of steps in that original base. He couldn't place an upper wall because the steps slightly went into the wall, so he could never place an upper wall in that area.
Yeah, this is more of a crafting tool. This is more of like a crafting tool than it is something that would really lose durability. I mean, there's no reason for it to lose durability. It's not something that you can't use it for anything else, I don't think, besides deleting. So
it says the demolition hammer will destroy base pieces in 2 to 8 hits, depending on the size of the object. So then you need to note that the condition bar is not appearing over certain base items like the stairs or large structures. So you will not be able to see that the damage in the condition is being applied. So stairs and large structures don't show the condition bar, so the damage bar at the moment.
So you just keep hitting it until they go away.
It will actually destroy it, though.
Yeah. So in my opinion, Brian, demo hammer need to show, does it need to have a durability?
I don't see the point of it having a durability right now.
Exactly.
Other than, I mean, having 12 of them is pointless. I mean, exactly. You only need one.
Exactly. So,
and it only takes a pipe to craft it. So as they're saying in chat, Scotty says in chat, it doesn't take that much to make it. So, it takes a metal pipe to craft it. If it has durability, I'm sure it's going to be fairly high.
That would be the only thing that makes it's not like something you're going to be doing every day. You're like, oh, I don't like the wall.
You can take metal and make another pipe, and then you can make another of these pretty quickly. So one thing on here that I'm really interested in, and I definitely want to test tonight, is ethanol and normal torches can now be placed. When placed, they will automatically be lit. So I'm assuming...
You can't test this tonight, Brian. You have to wait for the patch.
Oh, darn. So, and actually I have an all night client that I have to go work on that.
Oh, so you're not, is that why you're testing your laptop?
I was trying to see if I could get my laptop because I had to be there all night and then most of it's going to be sitting and doing nothing. So I maybe, if you guys want to hang out in TeamSpeak and chat from about 2 to 3 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, you can come join me.
Well, that was very specific. Okay.
Well, actually, it'll be all night, but I assume that's most of when I'm going to be on there. So these torches are going to be pretty cool because we'll be able to light our bases because they're talking about redoing the socket system. I don't know if they've gotten to that point yet, but I'm assuming this is what this is for, is the socket system on the bases and be able to put the torches outside your base because it gets very dark in your base.
Extremely dark. Depending if you're in the woods and you've got trees, like our Rancho Taquito base has got trees all over. It's pitch black at night.
And Unjet actually made a good point. He says, as far as that destruction hammer, if it can be used as a weapon, it needs some sort of durability.
It shouldn't be able to be used as a weapon. It may.
I'm assuming if you can hold it in your hand, you can hit somebody with it.
Possibly.
I mean, it may be the same type of damage as a regular hammer, but that's probably one reason why they would put durability on it, just so that you couldn't have it be your permanent weapon that you're running around and smacking people with and never getting destroyed.
Yeah. I would honestly rather just have it do no damage at all and just be literally a base building thing. You just leave it in a chest, and when you needed it, you picked it up.
Yeah. So here's one that I noticed from somebody else, and it says zombies will now target the vehicle first instead of the player inside of it. And I think it was somebody in our clan that had gone, and I think it was Bucky, had gone into a vehicle thinking that it was going to save him from being killed. And the zombies were chasing him. He got in the vehicle and they killed him through the vehicle, like pretty quickly.
Really? Okay.
They offered no protection to the player. So this is something that when the zombies come up, they're going to start attacking the vehicle. If they can attack the vehicle and kill you with it inside, then they're going to blow up the vehicle and you'll die. Right?
Yeah.
But they're going to sit there and start trying to destroy the vehicle just like you would think it would happen.
Well, you know what else, which is nice about that?
They get outside the vehicle and start hitting on it.
What the other thing that could be nice about this is if you're getting hit by zombies or whatever and you're bleeding, a vehicle may be a nice spot to just hop in really quick and bandage up and just stop that bleeding, and then you can get out and run. And then instead of attacking you, they'll just destroy that vehicle a little bit, which isn't a problem. Now, the question is, are they going to destroy vehicles that aren't occupied by people? How is that going to work?
I don't think there's any aggro on that. So I think this is purely if there's someone inside of a vehicle that they want to get to, they will attack the outside of the vehicle trying to get to them first.
This seems like something that could be a huge glitch, though. I could see the zombies just straight up attacking unmanned, fresh spawn vehicles. Some bug here.
I don't see. I mean, if they have the aggro system right, I don't think it will.
Okay. That's just something interesting that I thought
so
was possible.
Here's one thing that Novocaine brought up in chat, and this is something that I noticed when I was running around with Jello last week, or I like Jello's is in-game name. We saw the zombie that was like down on the ground, and we couldn't really tell. We figured maybe it was someone that was dead, and then that was them transitioning into a zombie, and we ran up to it, and it was a zombie eating a dead rabbit.
Yeah, me and you saw one in
Pleasant Valley. I saw the first one. Yeah, I know. I think you were with us.
Yeah.
And so that was the first time I ever saw that. And he saw that too. I mean, the zombie was just down there eating the rabbit, and then it saw us. It jumped up. I think that's one of those cool little things that they put in there that's not a big deal, but it adds to the realism of what's going on. Now, Team Rush says he's got it on video.
Upload that to YouTube.
Yeah, put that on YouTube because we were in game. We saw him. Man, that's kind of crazy. What's he doing over there?
I thought it was coming out of the ground. I thought it was spawning out of the ground or something. It was weird.
But that's something that they put in at some point, and they never mentioned it. So it's those little tweaks that are kind of nice. Now, here's something that it said. Off-Roader has some minor geometry upgrades.
The Off-Roader sucks. Geometry,
I'm assuming that they're talking about the outside of... Now, when they say geometry, they're not talking about physics. I wonder if they're talking about the actual structure of the vehicle itself.
But now changing the structure of that vehicle may fix the physics of it, because the off-roader is terrible.
When they say geometry, they may be talking about the center of balance, which will affect the physics of it.
I hope so. I can't drive the off-roader. I almost flip it every single time I drive it.
Yeah. So I think that's what they're talking about, is maybe the center of balance or something isn't right, which where it wasn't like the police vehicle and it wasn't like the truck. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they're fixing some things with that. I don't know if we're actually going to see physical changes on it that are noticeable, but they said they were minor. So they maybe just be little tweaks to how it drives. Here's a big...
Fremen said it's like the flip rotor. That is true. I flipped it almost flipped it almost three times in one battle royale game. I wasn't even going fast. I was just had my hand on the W. I wasn't. I didn't have the shift pressed.
No, and it's the now I've heard people call it a Jeep, and I've heard people call it a Hummer.
It's definitely not a Hummer. Hummers are huge. It is a Jeep.
Okay, so I wasn't sure because I mean we call it a Jeep, but I don't know if there is an actual.
It is not a Hummer.
Okay, and so that's one thing. They did change, and I had a video to it that we'll put in the show notes because we have some of these things that they're putting in here are things that we've seen teasers to, and we actually have it in our notes that we're going to talk about this. But here's them officially saying that they're going to do it. The crosshair reticle has been replaced by the dot has been replaced, so it's now an actual crosshair. I don't know what your feelings are on this, but that dot on my screen, I would lose.
Yeah,
I mean, I know it's the center of the screen. Like I could put a little dot on my screen physically and be like, that's where the dot's going to be because it's always in the same place.
Yeah.
But I would have sometimes where I just cannot see that dot.
No, it's a legitimate thing. You know, where you've got like the weird, sometimes with weird lighting, depending on what object you're looking at, if you're looking through a door, you can sometimes lose that. So I'm going to actually pull up the picture right here and we can see this was on Twitter earlier this week and you can see it's kind of hard to see on this. Let me see how far I can zoom in. But there is, in fact, there it is. There's the crosshair right on the zombie's head. So it's a very distinct crosshair now. So even if you've got a light object in front of it, you still should be able to pick out the crosshair, which is a nice touch there.
And I think that this will help a lot with the actual aiming in the game. Because, and we'll have, before we get done here, we'll actually talk a little bit about some issues with aiming as well that they've been talking about in Reddit. But yeah, I think this will help a lot with just being able to get something in your sights. We've talked about when you're in first person mode and you look down the sights, it's very difficult to see something. I don't know if they're going to deal with that of the sight actually being in the way of what you're aiming at, which it shouldn't be, but this will help a lot. And it looked like, was that third person mode that we're looking at?
Yeah, that was third person.
I think this will help a lot with third person mode. So now another thing.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. This picture was first person. I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong picture.
Was it?
Yeah. This is first person.
That should help a lot. It seems like they're adjusting how the first person looks because I've been very frustrated with the AR, how you see in first person mode. It just really is difficult. So we'll see if that fixes that problem.
Yeah.
One little problem. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Novocaine in chat is making the same point. He says, trying to find two white pixels in broad daylight under fire ain't easy. That's exactly what it is. It's not a problem, but when there's two guys running towards you and it's the middle of the day in the game, you're freaking out. Your adrenaline's running a little bit. And now you're like, really? The one pixel on my screen that's white? I can't find that. So that's hopefully will make shooting a little bit more accurate.
Yeah. Now, one thing that we've noticed, just little messages at the bottom, as you see, you have been disconnected message
all the time.
And then the chat gets wiped when you log into the server. And that's just one of those weird little glitches. And I think we mentioned it too. You know, why does it say you have been disconnected? You're still in the game and everything is working fine. I always wondered, and it never seems to ever disconnect you, but I always was worried when I'm in there, it says you have been disconnected. You know, sometimes you're able to still be in the game, even though you've been DC'd and you just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
So this message being gone will be very nice. Now, here's one that you've been struggling with the most. It says, when sitting, pressing a movement key will automatically make you
stand. I'm not satisfied. Remove the sitting key from the game. It's useless. Ridiculous. I'm playing Battle Royale. Accidentally press X.
This is more for the social aspect when people sit together. It's more of a social
key. Make it so that you have to bind the key. Make it so it's not bound by default. Or bind it to... You've got an entire QWERTY keyboard here. Bind it to another key that's not X. It's like the stupid Windows key. Like I'm trying to do left alt to look around and now
I've got Nick seems to run into this problem the most. I mean, he's constantly sitting and then he hits something and it doesn't stand you up again and then he starts screaming.
No, because then so what happens is you press X, it's a delayed stand. So if you sit, you accidentally press X to sit. Then now you're sitting. You press X again. You don't stand right away, so you press it again. So now your animation
stands up, and then you sit back down.
Your animation stands up, and then you sit down again, and you're like 3 seconds or 3 or 4 seconds have gone by. The gas is running towards you. The gas is like instantly creeping towards you in Battle Royale, and you're sitting standing like the entire, for like a minute. It's
so this
ridiculous.
Is how they should have done it the first time.
I've never even heard of a game where that. Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing. Like when you're crouched, if you press jump, you automatically, you don't jump and then go back down to laying to crouched. You jump and then you're back in the standing up mode. That makes sense.
Yeah, and that's something that definitely will help with that problem we've been running into.
Now
that's the official patch. I mean, or unofficial, soon to be patch notes.
Now we've got some suggestions. We're talking about the crosshairs, and people in chat are saying that the options to color the crosshairs would be nice. That would be something that I think is pretty easy to implement. So if you wanted to color your crosshairs green or red or blue, some other color that would stand out.
Hot pink so that it stands out, because there's nothing in the game that's hot pink unless it's an item that's not correctly skinned.
Yeah, I mean, a hot pink, like a deep red, you could do a lot of colors.
So Curiosako is saying, why don't they just do /sit? Because it is a social thing. Like in WoW, you can do /sit, /wave, /poke. I mean, you can do all kinds of different commands that are all, they're all more of a social thing, and they don't need a special key to do it.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Give them a special key, but don't bind it by default. You can have keys that aren't bound. You can just set it in the thing so that it says sit and it's not bound to a key. If you want to bind
either do the command,
or can go bind it.
Or you can go bind it if you really want to put the O key to sit or something.
But I bound it to like P or something, some key that I would never need, that I'm never going to touch.
Yeah. So that's something they're going to have to, if they're going to add more than just sit, like the wave, having them be the F6 and all that, you have to memorize what they are unless you put little stickies or a little paper that's
printed out. Here's the thing, get them away from the main keys. You use WASD, you use X, and you use C, and then you've got X right in the middle, and they decide to make that sit, and you can't even get up from it. I mean, that's just poor designing of your motion system. It's incompetency, I would assume. I mean, there was nobody, when they were playing this game, ever press that X key? I find that very hard to believe.
Well, okay, so probably a lot of the issue is these players that are on this development team, some of them play a lot of CS and different games to where they're incredibly comfortable with certain keyboard sets. Mm-hmm. So whatever this has, they've been playing it in another game very consistently, and so they're very used to not hitting that key.
Yeah.
But people play other games. Let's say you used to play a lot of Minecraft and things like that. There are probably keys, and I played WoW. There are keys on here that I'll press that don't do the same thing. And out of habit, I go and press that key and nothing happens right now. For you, there's probably a key that is X on something else that you just out of habit hit that key more
exactly.
often.
And it's not even the X I hit because I'm trying to do stuff. It's normally in Battle Royale when I'm rushing and I'm trying to crouch because somebody's walking and I accidentally press X. And then I can't shoot or do anything. And the same thing with the Windows key, which I don't understand why my $50 Logitech keyboard has a lock to turn the Windows key off, and my $150 Razer keyboard doesn't.
You could just pop it out, take a knife.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Let's not do that now. I could probably disable it in the settings.
So we talked a little bit last week about Aim Punch, and I went and did a little bit of research on what that actually is, because I was thinking it was the aiming system when you're punching, right? That is not what aim punch is. And I don't know if you had any idea of this, but aim punch is when you are shot and taking damage. It's that not, it's like where your character, and they kept talking about flinch. Mm-hmm. It's where your sights will go up a little bit when you get shot or hit. Right. So this aim punch thing is different in third person versus first person mode. And so that's where there was a lot of this frustration coming from people of, if you're in first person, you notice the aim punch, like your sights, when you're getting hit, it's hard to aim at anybody because your sights moving all around.
Extremely hard.
When you're in third person, there is no flinch. And so that was a very inconsistent, and it makes people go to third person a lot more because there's much less problem with it. And so that's something that Wizenhunt he put a Reddit post out there that they're actually going to be doing something to fix this issue. I think that last week we had said they took it out altogether for this week.
I believe so. But yeah, they just totally removed it.
And so they're going to be putting it back in. He says it is going to be a part of the game, but that they that it's something that they have to fix. It, they said, we're seeing a little bit of a much larger problem. So what is happening is, and that's why they've taken it out, is we're just seeing that there's an inconsistency there, but there's something in the code and happening in the background that is not right. And so they're having to fix that first, because we were wondering why they took it out. You know, it wasn't really clear, but I've been doing a little bit digging on it and figured out that that is the issue, that there's something else going on that they're fixing. And so that's why it's temporarily out of the game.
So I we're right. They didn't release it after the show. I'm happy. I'm glad we got to do that. now we've got it. We prepped for not having these. So we've got a lot of stuff on here.
Okay, so I've actually here's some things that I want to bring up as suggestions.
Let's do that then, quick.
So here are ideas and things that I've seen thrown out there, like for a server rule set, and here's one that was suggested on Reddit about having a rule set called the Purge, and this is for PvE players. So these PvE servers, they were discussing having a random like horn that goes off and it says, have you ever seen the Purge movies?
I have not, but I understand the concept.
So it's a thing to control the population and whatever the whole backstory of the movie, but to control the population, they have one time a year where people can pretty much do whatever they want with
no recourse for anything.
No repercussions from it. And so on these PvE servers, if this raid sirens will go off and something will happen, maybe during the night cycles, but for a certain period of time, no holds barred, anything can happen on a PvE server. Like people can kill each other, and it's for a certain cycle that this happens. And so this was an idea, because right now, what's the real point of playing on a PvE server?
Right now, it's useless, but at some point, I would assume that the zombies will be enough of a threat where, you know, the zombies will be like, you know, extremely beefed up on the PvE servers, and you'll actually have to fend yourself off against zombies.
This could make it so that there would be a reason for a player to go in and play PvE, because let's say you can run around out of those hours, you can run around, get materials, do all your stuff, and not have to worry about getting killed constantly, right? But every certain period of time, you know, and for the people that are really, that they don't want to be killed, they don't want to deal with any of that, they could log off during that time. But this is just for those periods of time, those servers go to a PvP rule set, and you have the ability to go attack other people. So I think this would be, and it wouldn't necessarily replace all PvE servers. This would be something that would be a rule set for, this is a Purge server. So you know, you go into the server knowing that at certain times there will be PvP on the server, but not all the time.
That makes sense. I was under the assumption that just getting rid of the PvE and making them like that, but I don't
see that happening. But this would be another rule set, and they're always looking for a reason to charge you money at some point. So to being able to access these rule sets and things like that, and Ferment says, you know, PvE is for testing base building. You know, there's not really a reason to do it other than you can go get materials and you don't have to worry about dying.
Yeah. Now, the other big thing here, and this was just announced a little bit earlier today.
My something fell down behind me and people are like, there's a ghost.
Yeah,
your
top bookshelf.
I was wondering what fell.
Schmedley announced, and during their Q&A, the question came up, will we see AU servers or Australian servers? And the question was maybe, but they didn't say anything for sure.
That was answered today.
No, that's what I'm leading into that. I'm saying now there was Smedley tweeted a little bit earlier today that there will be Australian based servers. They will be coming soon. I imagine they'll just probably.
How many months is soon?
I imagine they'll just reallocate some of the EU servers and just throw them as Australian servers.
Some of these are based on physical location, though, so they're probably just arranged a contract with
a data center,
that's down in that area, and they're just going to be rolling out some more of these servers. I assume they've gotten to a point where they can roll out these servers fairly quickly, just like with with these battle royale servers that are going to be spinning up, you know, they have the ability now to get these out and not be so set on here's five servers. You know, they say, hey, we're getting a lot of people signing up in Australia. Let's add five more servers. I assume it's not such a big deal now. Yeah, register trademark on soon.
Who knows what it means? That's the question to beat. Now, Zombie Horde's delayed. This is not a surprise. The zombies, again, still a joke.
Yeah, and so last week they had delayed them, and I want to put this in here because they're still delayed. And I think that this is not this patch, which we're talking about here, or, you know, we had talked about before. I think probably next patch. So whatever they do for the next publish or whatever they're going to call it, there's going to be a lot of things that they're going to be putting in that, from what I can tell. Because Zombie Hordes has been delayed, but I know they are coming. Weapon player models, so new weapon models, new player models, female characters. I mean, this is all kind of together, but they keep talking about this roadmap that they're going to do, and that's been delayed. It's soon, but they're going to be doing new base items, which they did do some. I mean, we're talking about these lights, the ethanol lights, this hammer. So they are doing some of those, but female characters, new guns, new vehicles, and more. So that'll be really interesting to see. I think that might be one big patch, and that's going to be a really awesome week to talk about this of when they actually get these things out, because I'm guessing that they're putting out one big patch that will probably be linked to a wipe as well that has all the stuff in it.
And that patch will be here soon. So
soon.
So it'll be here soon. So we'll just have to wait and see when soon
and
it is.
And I'm assuming also the first person vehicle mode, and we'll have a link to some Vine videos of them testing that. They said soon on February 19th, as I had mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast.
Yep.
And so that's coming up on here in a week and 2 days. That'll be a month. So maybe our other soons will be out one
now,
month from.
Even though things are getting delayed, they're still making changes to the game. So I'm satisfied, even though, you know, they say soon and whatever else, and stuff's not getting done when they say it's going to get done. It's not like the development is halted. I mean,
it's fun to tease them about this, but realistically they are making constant improvements to this game. They're not always things that you see. I mean, we get frustrated. Oh, there's been a week where there hasn't been major changes to the game. Well, if you look back a week, I mean, there were a lot of server changes and a lot of things that just went just downhill quickly.
Yeah,
with the crashing. And so I understand that for a week, you know, they've been working on that. Crashes are still happening. I mean, I'm currently on our main server. I'm at a fresh spawn point because we got attacked by three guys and my server crashed and kicked me out. Or my computer, or the H1Z1 crashed, kicked me out in the middle of the battle, which has become very common occurrence.
Yeah, it's like something weird with the gunshot sounds. It gets a little weird.
And they're thinking that it has something to do with, you know, my guess is it might be with the gunshot, the explosion, something with the fire or something, because it seems to be linked to that. And I don't know if it has something to do with the explosion or something with that animation that's causing it to crash out. But I know that they're working on that. They said that they think it has something to do with something similar to that, but they don't know quite yet.
I wonder what they could have changed, because that was never a problem. I wonder what they changed to make that a problem. That's interesting.
Well, they redid all those the lighting. I'd have to look at when this started versus what they did. It seems like when they did that server stability patch, that's when it happened. But it may have been something a little bit earlier that just we didn't notice for a day.
Yeah. So now quickly,
it became so public for a day.
Yeah. So we're gonna before we wrap this up here, we got some recommendations. People are talking about, give us some strategies to play the game. You say in the beginning of your open, we say strategies and speculations each and every week. Here's something that I found out about from one of our group members. Something so simple I didn't even think about it, but lowering the music volume in the game. When you go to some of the Romero's grocery stores, or if you go to the church in Pleasant Valley, there's that very loud music that plays in the game. And if there's people walking around, If you're trying to hear footsteps, that music will just totally distort that. And it was always something I just lived with. I was like, okay, well, I'm by the church in Pleasant Valley. There's just always music here. If you just go into the options menu, you can lower the music master volume. You don't want to change the overall volume. You just want to control the music volume, and you can bring that down to like 25 or 20%. And you still hear it a little bit in the background if you'd like to hear that. But it dramatically cuts down on it, and you can actually hear footsteps now. So there's your little strategy. You can definitely do that with the music.
Yeah, and that's one thing that sometimes, like the loading screen or the when you're waiting to pick your server select screen, mm-hmm. the music there is so loud that you know that it's overpowering.
Well, you can't hear people in TeamSpeak sometimes.
So that's something that they definitely overdid because it seems like it's much louder than anything that's happening in game.
Exactly. So that's there's your little tip or strategy.
Yeah, said someone told me crouching stops the music and it works. I think that's more of a bug. And so they're going to be fixing that if they haven't already. But when you would go from crouching to standing, it would reset the music.
Okay. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
I mean, I wouldn't count on that as being a long lasting fix.
Yeah.
But I could go back and forth when I would be doing the live stream. I'd be going back and forth between sitting, standing so that I could sit and listen just right before they let you adjust everything. It would make it so I could kind of go back and forth and hear if someone was walking around me.
Interesting.
But audio reset.
Well, that's an interesting fact. I did not know about that. So now, at least for me, it wouldn't be a problem.
Now, one last thing I wanted to really talk about that I don't think we covered is the new models for that they're going to be having for the players.
Yeah, we can run over this quick.
And so we will have that in the show notes of some of the different images that they have for this coming model. But they've adjusted like the torso and just it's not like a major visual change from when you first look at it, but there are things that you notice when things don't bend right, or you know the arm, like the bow goes through the arm, and little things like that we see. These are going to be fixing some of those visual just oddities, and so they have on here, and we'll be posting this. And I think that they really needed to fix this before they put out more clothing, because they put out some concept art that we're going to have in a link here. Where they have, and we have some of the different hats, but helmets that are more like police helmets, like SWAT gear type of outfits. And they're going to have more of the survival type of outfits that you would think of being in a post-apocalypse type of look. They're going to be putting these in, but I'm thinking that they probably really needed to redo this model before they made all the clothes that go on it, because then they have to redo all the clothes. So I think they're going to be putting this out, this new model, and then hopefully we'll start to see more variations of clothing, not just different skins that are on the same hat, different, because that's the frustrating thing for all these things we're winning in Battle Royale. What's the point? I've got 15 of the same hat.
Yeah.
If I'm going to get a hat, I want it to be a unique looking hat, not just like in the one I got for winning first place in Battle Royale isn't even the skin on it doesn't even work. You know, so it's like, what's the point of that whole hat altogether? So, you know, this is something where it gives you a reason to play Battle Royale if you're going to get, you know, some sort of a thing that looks actually cool, like maybe a vest that has more pockets in it, mm-hmm. you know, something different. And I think that's going to be coming here soon. I keep hearing soon.
Yeah. Now, so this is quickly before we wrap it up here. This was a tweet that went out today. It was from one of the developers, and it shows this thing that we've been talking about for a while, which is seeing guns on the backs of players, fixing that model so that now when you see a player and they don't have anything in their hand, Brian, you typically do this, even if you've got a gun on you, you walk around with your bow and arrow as primary, you're less of a target. So this is the picture that was tweeted out today, and you can see this guy has got the shotgun. Or I'm sorry, the pistol as his primary, and he's got an AR and what appears to be a makeshift bow in his his second and third slot, and now those show in his player model. So now this whole walking around with your fists out or walking around
with looking like a fresh spawn.
Exactly. That's not going to work anymore now. So if you've got a gun on you, you're going to be targeted. And so now you might as well, if you're going to carry a gun, keep it primary, because you're not going to be tricking it. Now, I don't know what it's going to do with the pistol, because I don't know.
So in that image that you showed, it is a little bit misleading, because you see him having a pistol drawn, but if you look on his right hip, uh-huh. he has the pistol there.
So that's interesting.
So I don't know why they must not have the mechanic right for the pistol being placed in there correctly, because it should have taken the pistol out, and then that being an empty holster at that point, and you're holding the pistol. But if you look, he has a pistol on his right hip. He has what I assume is the AR uh-huh. on his right shoulder. He has the bow that's kind of going behind his backpack. And so you can see all three weapon slots on that. And I was wondering how they're going to do that. I'm assuming if you have two guns, let's say a sniper rifle and then an AR or a shotgun, you're going to have one on your right shoulder, one on your left shoulder, and then your holster.
Exactly. And any melee weapon.
What if you have two shotguns, or what if you have three of each? You know, so you have the AR, you have the shotgun, and you have the sniper rifle. How are they going to show that?
They'll probably just put it in the middle of your back. Or if it's the same model, they'll just show it like it's on there twice.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting to see how they're going to deal with that problem, because that will be a problem of you have three guns. If you don't have a handgun, there's not going to be a holstered one. Are they only going to show two out of the three?
Yeah.
Is that going to be where you put certain ones in certain slots to not show maybe an AR
exactly.
when you have? Or not show your shotgun if you don't want them to know that you have that.
Now, in my opinion, I think this drastically changes the way you're going to play the game now, because yes. there's no more of this, oh, I'm friendly, I don't have anything, and the guy, you know, does a 180 and pulls out a shotgun. That's not going to fly anymore. This is going to be, I see you coming towards me, you have a shotgun on your back, I'm going to KOS you, because I can clearly see you've got a gun.
This is I Like Jell-O's favorite thing to do, and I put a picture in TeamSpeak earlier that says the friendly player. I don't know if you saw this post on Reddit. Yeah, the friendly player. But I Like Jell-O runs in to any situation yelling friendly into the in-game mic as he shoots people, and still yelling friendly as he's shooting at them. But you know, this is going to definitely change that. Right now we kind of say, oh, is that guy friendly based on whether or not he has a helmet on? Because people that have helmets on generally are less friendly, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of how
Got a helmet, you probably have a gun with some ammo, most likely.
So this will give a real representation to where, okay, we see you have a helmet, but you only have a handgun. I'm going to go in and kill you.
Exactly. And I actually had that experience this week where Brian would have disapproved of the situation where I killed a guy with his hands up, but you know, you can't trust them. Can't trust anybody. And now with this, you'll actually have something to base it off of. You're going to say, okay, well, this guy, even if he doesn't have ammo, I can see an AR, or I can see a shotgun or a hunting rifle. I'm going to sneak up on this guy and kill him.
And one thing that I'm seeing, if you look at that model, look at some of the other doors that they have.
Yeah, these
are things that they place these things out there, but I look at the details of, look at those different types of doors. I mean, you see the trailer door on there. Uh-huh. It looks like there's some sort of a padded door. And then it looks like there's like the metal door looks pretty sophisticated there.
That metal door, I think, is the one that's in one of the restaurants that goes to that cooler.
Okay. So now why are they placing these to test? I mean, is it that they want to see the mechanic of the movement of them opening them, or is there going to be a mechanic of you busting indoors? You know, I'm kind of curious why they have these things placed. I assume they're testing the movements so that someone walks up, you know, the character walks up to the door, opens the door, they're testing those movements with that. But I didn't notice that there's some doors, like that one in the very right hand side, like the back right. I don't remember seeing that door in game. So that's going to make me pay a little more attention. Is this a hint at maybe some new things that are coming? Now, like that table, you know, those are in game. We see all these things in game, but I wonder if there's anything in here that's not in game.
Yeah. Now this is interesting. Mono in the chat is saying everyone will have guns 90% of the time. And I totally disagree with that.
Well, they have guns, but no ammo. So this still doesn't give you an indication of what has ammo or not.
It doesn't, but there is a strategy of not walking around with a gun. And that's going to be more of a strategy now.
And exactly as Kramit said, this is going to be something to where you're looking at it and saying, I don't really want to carry around this AR
if I don't have
this shotgun. If I don't have any ammo, because people are going to come at me like I do have it.
Exactly. This is totally going to change.
That you have nothing on you.
In my opinion, it may not, but I think this is totally going to change.
You want to make them think that you do have all that, so they maybe will new spawns will back off.
Exactly. There's two ways to look at this. I think personally, it's going to change the way I play a little bit. I tend to KOS because I've had so many situations where I don't kill somebody, and then they turn around and kill me. But now if I see that, you know, they really just have a bow, no, probably not. They shoot a bow at me, I'm going to come with my gun if I have one. So it's going to be simple as that.
So and this will be interesting. And I'm really hoping that next week they release that roadmap, because they did put off the actual roadmap page and features of saying, here's what's coming up. And that'll really help us with our broadcast to actually have a roadmap of what's coming so we can watch certain things. Because, I mean, we have to watch a lot of Reddit posts and really dig into it to find all these things. And then, you know, during our show, they release pretty much a list of all the things that we've researched all week, which I think is kind of funny. But, I'm really looking forward to the roadmap, because that's going to be, hey, here's some new base building things that are coming so that we know. And then we'll be able to make a better guesstimate of when those wipes are happening too. Because right now, like with the last wipe, they didn't tell you at all before the wipe happened. You know, with these, we only can look at, okay, they have these character models, they have base building stuff that's coming. Maybe a wipe will be, you know, in the next month. That's all we know. So I think once they get a roadmap and get a little bit more of an organized, here's what's going to be released, here's the things we're looking at, I think that'll be good for the players to have something to look forward to as well.
Yeah. Now, Novocaine just brought up a good point, chat, and he says, surely hackers will now have an easy way of picking their targets. That's an interesting point that I didn't think of. Now the hackers will see that your player model's carrying around guns, but again, they don't know if you have ammo. And if everybody's carrying around a gun, then does it really mean anything?
This is something that we may want to ask for men, because I don't know if, because you're now having a visual representation on the outside, your character then sends that data out that, yes, you have these three guns, where right now it doesn't. It says, here's what you're carrying in your main slot. So this is information that we have to tell people that are around you that is there, because that's what they see. Now that your character is telling the server, I have a handgun, I have a rifle, I have a shotgun, it will then have to broadcast that information out to everyone that's around you, which is what the hackers are looking at when they're pulling this information. That's what they're seeing. So I think it's going to be giving out more information to where they will know that at least every single, even from far away with the ESP, I'm thinking that they will know what you have from anywhere on the map as far as all your guns.
Yeah, and now Kane is saying, do the hackers really care? They kill because it's fun. They don't really care, kill for the loot. And that's a good point. I mean, the hackers aren't killing you to get your gun. They've already got a gun. They've already got the ammo. They're killing you because that's what they do. Yeah. So maybe it'll change it, maybe it won't.
Yes, I mean, they don't need another gun. We know that.
And they don't need ammo either. Clearly, I mean, somebody killed a hacker.
They go to our base and they get 100 and something ammo. So realistically, there is no point.
So we'll have to see. And then maybe this won't change it. Maybe I still will carry an AR without bullets on my back. Who knows? We'll just have to see what the general trend is. You know, the problem is the player models from far still suck. They still just look like blobs of just sprites moving across the world.
Yeah. So yeah, they're going to have to work on that. And I'm hoping this comes out with this patch of dealing how the models look.
Because how useful is this going to be when somebody's across the field? All you're going to see is that weird black in motion thing moving across. You're not going to be able to, that guy's got two guns on it. How? You can't even tell. You can barely tell if it's a person or not.
Yeah. You're just looking for a little pixel that's sticking out at the side. Oh, he's got a handgun.
Yeah, exactly. It's very broken at this point. So unless you're walking on somebody close range, that's really when this is going to be useful.
Okay, so now one thing that Schmedley brought up, and I forgot to mention this, but he had asked a question of, or had said that they're going to be doing a Steam inventory so you can trade items in the marketplace. And I'm assuming you'll be able to trade skins. So maybe if you really want the pants skin or the hat, certain hat skins, or, you know, whatever for the helmet, they're going to make it so that you can trade those for real money or for other items inside of Steam. So what do you think of that idea?
So this is exactly what this tells me. They are 100% committed to free to play. That's what this is. That any of the games that use the Steam Marketplace, TF2, Dota, games like that, they're all free to play. That's where the marketplace is big. So this basically tells me that they're committed to free to play.
Yeah, which is sad.
Which is sad, but that's a huge. I mean, the TF2 strives. TF2 strives off of that, of the trading.
But imagine what you can do with the trading. You know, if we play a lot, so we're going to have a lot of different skins. We throw them out on the marketplace to people that don't play as much. We will get a benefit out of that.
Possibly, but yeah, who knows? Well, I really hope this does not become a Team Fortress 2 spending $600 on a hat kind of game, because I think it could be really quick.
And then what do you think of it also, because Schmedley brought this up, the season pass, and I know you kind of told me off air, but the season pass being like a 3-month subscription, what is your opinion on that? And he asked, like, what should the cost be for a 3-month pass, season pass, to be able to play maybe as much Battle Royale as you want?
So I'm not sure on the cost of the season pass. I mean, for me, I wouldn't spend for 3 months, I wouldn't spend more than $25, $20 maybe for 3 months.
Yeah, I would think $5 a month for Battle Royale, if that's what they're offering with this.
Yeah.
$15 for 3 months.
I would not spend more than 20. I think I'd go with that. But now the problem, and I said this to you off air, Brian, is a lot of people that play this game right now, currently, a lot of people in our group, we've got some people that are older, not old, but older. And then
in your eyes,
what?
Just kidding. In your eyes, they're older.
Yeah. Well, like you, right? You're a grown ass man. You're an adult, right? Yes. And we've also got a lot of teenagers in our group as well. So we've got that mix. Do they have a sturdy enough income to be able to afford a season pass? You know, does the kid,
is that only going to limit them to where they're not going to be able to do just the Battle Royale? Well, they'll still be able to play.
But that's the interesting thing. What else is the season pass going to entail? You know, the guy that's bagging groceries at the grocery store and has got his insurance payment, is that a top priority for him? The $20 a month for the it depends what they're going to offer with this.
Yeah, they're going to have to come up with, and what a lot of other games do is, okay, if you have the subscription, you have a season pass, we also give you, you know, however many tokens. And I don't know how their marketplace as far as the economy works for what a token is worth. I mean, right now it's $5 for 500 or whatever. But, you know, maybe if you have this 3-month pass, you also get 5 tokens that will build up over time to be able to buy something else. If they offer things like that, that will encourage people to sign up for the season pass, because you're getting a little bit more other than Battle Royale. Then you can buy these crates, you can buy these airdrops. If you don't want to play Battle Royale, even, you're building up something else. Eventually, I mean, I've got 50 event tickets and I've got 5 airdrops. You know, but if we start playing that on a regular basis, those are going to go away fairly quick.
You could easily, you could run through 15 of those event tickets in one night easily, like without a doubt. And plus, and you have a lot of things where you just spawn and you die instantly. It's like, really? Like, are you really going to risk your ticket on that? If they don't do a season pass, which I'm not a huge fan of because I don't like the monthly subscription stuff, but if they do a season pass, it's going to make it more casual, because I'm not going to risk joining a Battle Royale as much to spawn in to you know, parachute down to a house where a guy's just
sitting there just constantly going into Battle Royale.
Exactly. You're not. How are you going to be able to? You'll be out of tickets in one night.
Yeah.
So they'll have to figure something out, because you're not going to play a bunch of games where you're just going into a house where somebody else just parachuted in and they're pointing a gun at you as you open the door. Because that's how so many of my Battle Royales end. It's just you wouldn't want to actually spend a ticket on it. But why do they need to charge for Battle Royale? Why don't they come up with some other type of game mode that involves something where they can charge for it? I don't see what improvements are they going to make to Battle Royale where it's going to be worth $5 to $10 a month.
See, if Battle Royale is what gives you that very unique item, like you get first place and there are items that are worth $20 on the marketplace from Battle Royale, some people will play it just for that. So then they can turn around, win Battle Royale, sell it on the marketplace inside of Steam for $20, something equivalent to $20. Then they'll, for them, that's worth it. And so there will be people that play it for that, but they're going to have to come up with maybe, and like for me, if I can get a ghillie suit or I can get, you know, something that is cool and unique that only maybe 10% or less of the server have, that some people will play it just for that.
See, Novocaine is saying exactly what I've said since day one. He doesn't see how you can monetize a game that doesn't have leveling and grind, and you can't. I don't see how they can actually monetize this game. I am not going to spend $5 a month to play Battle Royale. It's I don't get five. I don't get the enjoyment out of it. I mean, it's great when you win, but a majority of the time you don't, and you don't even come close.
That's where we're going to have to see. That's where we're going to have to see is what are they going to change to Battle Royale? What other play modes are they going to add in that are only going to be for subscribers or people that pay a certain amount every month? That is going to be the thing is, what else are they going to be adding to this game? Because currently we could go and build up a community and not play Battle Royale for like we did. We hardly played over a week.
Why don't they? You know,
if they're counting on that,
this is what they. This is what they need to do, Brian. This is their solution to the problem. You have two types of Battle Royale. One that's totally free, but the rewards are non-existent.
Yeah.
Right? You just literally play Battle Royale. There are no rewards. Make that totally free, open to everybody. And if we want to play with our group and just play, then we can do that, right? It doesn't cost you an event ticket, and your loot is a skin, just a regular old skin. It's nothing crazy. And then if you want to put your tickets in or you want to pay monthly, there's the higher up one where you said you could get that skin that's worth $25-$30. I just don't see myself ever paying $5 a month for Battle Royale. I don't get the enjoyment out of it. How am I gonna when I spawn in and I'm stuck in a tree and then I get out of the tree, I hit the roof of a house and I die. That's $5 worth of enjoyment? Yeah, it's great when we're in the final 10. But majority of the time I'm not. I'm dead within the first 100.
Well, I'm assuming that they're realizing this, and then that's why for this patch they put such an emphasis on Battle Royale, because that's where they're saying they're going to make their money, and so that's where they're putting their focus, and they have to. They're going to have to make major changes to Battle Royale and make it something that is incredibly unique and incredibly fun, and that's if they're going to make that their model of making money, purely Battle Royale, or maybe other server types like the Purge mode. If you want to play in a purge mode, but realistically, that's just another server type. You could have it to where you can only play on PvP servers on a non-subscription. And then if you want to do PvE, you want to do these purge servers, all these other things, you have to be a member. Okay, that's understandable. But realistically, they're going to have to come up with more than even that, I think.
This is interesting. Somebody in chat is saying, is this a subscription for cosmetics, basically? That's what you'd be paying for. That sums it up. There you go. You're paying your $5 a month so that for your chance to win camo pair of pants. That's what you're paying for.
Well, and I don't even know if they're going to go there. But you are paying for cosmetics when you're paying for crates. Because that's what crates are.
But that's what the end goal of Battle Royale is, to win so that you get those crates, and those crates are cosmetic items. So that's what you're paying for.
But you have to still have to pay for keys. You know, so you,
true.
You're getting those crates that you can then buy keys for. So you're already paying. Why are you having to pay twice? You have to pay to get into the Battle Royale, and then you have to pay to unlock the crate that you just got.
Yeah, see, well, they could just solve all the problems, make the game $60, and call it a day. Then they don't have to worry about trying to monetize a game mode that can't be. Battle Royale cannot be monetized. There is no way you can monetize it. The rewards suck, and the game is unreliable. Who the hell is gonna pay to literally die right off the spawn? It makes no sense. They're trying to grasp and suck money out of something that isn't there. Charge for game modes like roleplay. There are so many other things they could charge for. And they're trying to suck money out of Battle Royale.
Well, and this is where, you know, they're talking about in chat. If you can get it to where there's, start releasing content like this huge map, have this original map be the free-to-play model. If you want to be able to go to these different areas, like let's say a mall or a city or all the things that we've laid out in some of the past episodes, those could be ones where, okay, you need to be a premium member. If you look at like Battlefield, they have premium and non-premium. They have servers that are available in the premium.
Yes.
You progress faster in some way, or are able to access maps that are not available in the free to play or in the standard version. That is where they will make their money, is saying, here is something that you get for this subscription that is big like that.
Well, now you're appealing to me. There's something tangible there. This is like a new map, or this is a new server. This is something that I can actually use and enjoy. Now you're appealing to me, Brian.
And that's what they're going to have to do, because I don't see, as you said, who wants to just play Battle Royale for $7 a month?
Nobody.
I would love to have a huge map, you know, this bigger map with maybe a certain type of environments. That is something that I would be like, I really want to go and experience that. And so I will pay the subscription to be able to access that. But they need to have enough people that are willing to do it to make it to where it's populated.
Yeah. Now, the problem is, if they do this monthly subscription for Battle Royale, I don't see who would pay for it. Maybe I would for, like, right off the bat, because in my case, maybe I would because of the show, and that would be like my reason to pay for it, because we'd be testing stuff. But as just a regular player, I can't see myself paying for Battle Royale.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to see what they do, but they're set on the paid, they're set on the free to play, and I don't understand why.
Yeah, I mean, it's a new company. As I said before, I'm sure they've talked about it, but they don't seem to be leaving that train of thought. They're keeping with that old Sony way of thinking.
But it's probably also because of the hype around this game, is that it's a free to play zombie game, and if they retract on that, there's going to be a huge falling out. But the game's not even that expensive. That's the thing. Like, the game is $20. Cough it up. Like, it's just, like, that's really what it comes to. Like, I understand, but it's $20.
They're looking for a way to, just like WoW. I mean, WoW, you pay $15 a month.
But WoW, but there's
stuff. They want that continuous income, but they create so much content for WoW.
But here's the thing. WoW is a game where you can charge $15. You can get $15 a month worth of content out of WoW. You cannot get $15 a month worth of content currently out of H1Z1. With nothing they have in the game this second is worth $15 a month.
Well, I mean, look at the number of developers that work on WoW versus the number of developers, I'm sure, that work on this. There's probably a huge difference. So they need to say, if we want to charge more money, we're going to have to put in the number of developers and the amount of content that they're kicking out constantly.
Exactly. Or again, just charge for the game once. Nobody would complain.
But now my view on that is, if they're going to pay for the game once, I don't want this to be something that's a dying out community. Eventually there will be a trend where the money's not coming in anymore, and you no longer, the improvements aren't being made anymore on the game.
I can see that. Okay.
For me, that's where if you can get me to pay a little bit, or pay for expansions, pay for reasons that, you know, like you're updating things or adding things, that I'd pay for, just to keep that progression and keep people coming into the game for new content. Because if it's a pay $20 once and they never pay again, eventually it's like a shelf life for a game. There's no point in them putting in more content, because they're never going to make that much more money back.
But that's the thing. I'm okay with paying for add-on. I am not I buy DLC for games all the DLC is a lot different than a monthly subscription. I buy Call of Duty DLC. I don't buy Call of Duty Season Pass. I know it's the same thing, but I don't pay. The Season Pass isn't a good example, but I don't pay monthly for that stuff. I buy DLC when I want DLC.
Yeah.
And in this case, a lot of people in chat are saying, I refuse to pay monthly. I already spent $20 on the game. I'm not paying any more towards it. Screw that. That's the attitude.
Yeah.
You've already got me. I already paid you. Like, maybe they make it so that these people that got in on the ground floor are automatically part of this.
Well, and that's where Mono talks about, you know, every 6 months add content. If they can have it to where for 6 months they're just working hard to make a big release every 6 months, that's a reason to stay subscribed, or a reason to pay money, do whatever. They're going to have to do that. I mean, that is, as Novocaine's saying, a business model. That's what they got to do, is just keep content coming out.
Yeah, but their business model needs to be something that will work. That's their current bit. The way that they're currently placing their business model, it's not going to work, because there's nothing there to charge for. So yeah. I understand the business. I understand they need to make money, and I understand they're a company. But at some point, you need to say, we can't charge for this. There's nothing here to charge for. And they'll roll it out, and they'll see that nobody's going to pay monthly for it unless there's, I don't know. I don't see anybody in our core group paying for that, maybe besides you and myself because of this. But other than that, I don't see anybody in that group paying $7 a month for Battle Royale.
And they've got to price it cheap enough, so like $15 every 3 months. If they can just get the price down to where it passes that tipping point for people of, okay, I guess I will.
Yeah.
And they have to figure out what that cost is. $7 for me in my mind is like, I don't want to pay $7, but maybe $5. They've got to do a lot of looking and what are we releasing? Where's going to be that magic tipping point for people? Even if it's $3 a month. If they can get $3 a month from every single person that subscribes, that's going to be money coming in.
Yeah. The thing is,
that's going to be better than half of the people not subscribing. If 3/4 of the people subscribe at $3 a month and you only have 1/4 of the people that would do it at $7 a month.
Yeah. But see, there you go. That's not how businesses work. That's a logical thinking. Well, if I can cut the price in half and get double the subscriptions, that would do that. No, they'll charge the highest amount possible with trying to pull in as many users as possible.
Yeah, Novocaine says for this show, if we buy station cash, can we get a tax deduction?
There you go. Brian, we should start our own currency for infection, and we'll have it be worth stuff in game. Who wants we've got our new infection monthly subscription. It's $15 a month to watch the show. Sorry. See you next week.
Yeah.
that's how it works.
Of course, you know, and that's the thing. If we wanted to charge $15 a month to listen to this series, to our podcast, we would have to produce
$15,
a huge amount of content.
$15
worth of content.
Exactly. That's what they're not grasping. There is nothing that they can do to Battle Royale a month to make it worth $5.
I mean, we get paid what we're worth.
So nothing. So we get paid absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Yes. Anyways.
It's we got to see what they're going to do. If they roll this out, it's just going to be a failure, I think, unless we're totally wrong. But we've got almost 30 people in here, and 20 of them are in chat agreeing with us. So yeah. We'll see what H1Z1 wants to do and what the Daybreak Company wants to do. But I think we're at almost 2 hours here, Brian. I think that's going to...
Yeah, I think
That was an interesting show. I thought we were going to be light on content.
No, yeah, them throwing out a future patch notice here right in the middle of the show is helps.
It does. So there it is, Brian Aldridge, at Boise Computer on Twitter.
Or, of course, if you want to get me on my blog, go to Bite of Tech. That's biteoftech.com, or go to our website, infectionpodcast.com. Once again, I made the plea last week, the plea with you guys. If you're listening to this just out and about at work or whatever you're doing, when you get home, come and join our Steam group. We got a couple of new people that joined, and I think it was probably because of that. But hey, if you're listening to the show and you're not part of our Steam group, you don't play on our server with us, jump on there, join our group. You can add Nick and I as a friend on Steam, and we'll help you to get connected with some of the people. Join us in TeamSpeak and become a part of the Infection crew.
Yep, and then there's our website, infectionpodcast.com, and I'm going to bring this up really quick here. I'm doing an Extra Life campaign, which is the gaming charity. So I'm doing an Extra Life campaign. It's on the right-hand sidebar of the website. Extra Life's a charity that gives money to Children's Hospital, and I'm playing for the Albany Medical Center Children's Hospital in Albany, New York. So that's that. Brian, thank you very much. We'll see what happens this week, and we'll play our Battle Royale weekend. We'll do a lot of streams over that Battle Royale weekend if they in fact stay true with that time. So there it is. My name is Nick Craig at Gamecast Live is my Twitter handle. Infectionpodcast.com is the website. We'll see you guys next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for watching, guys. Have a good week. We'll see you next time.
Have a good night.